This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. This is the podcast for CEOs, founders, entrepreneurs, often of private equity and venture capital funded companies. We're going to talk today to Amber Walsh. Amber's in the executive committee at McGuire Woods and lives at the intersection of private equity and healthcare. Really going to touch on a couple different subjects today. First, there seems to be a change in the power balance between general partners slash private equity funds and their LPs, their investors, as private equity funds are having a little bit harder time raising funds than they traditionally do. Second, the swing of deals to sort of the vast amount of deals being done as bolt-on deals, add-on deals versus platform deals, and why that's the case. We might touch a little bit, too, about some of the risks you're hearing about in the debt market. Amber, can you take a moment and tell us a little bit about what you're seeing out there?
Absolutely, Scott. So let's start with the first one, the pendulum swing between relative power between GPs and LPs. And it's an interesting topic that, you know, as the fundraising climate has started to slow down in the second half of this year, and it's expected to continue to slow down, what you see is LPs reporting that they're feeling more powerful, which makes sense. There's actually a really interesting blog from a couple of weeks ago. One of the blogs that I routinely read is the S&P Global Markets private equity blog. And there's a really interesting one where several managers of institutional LP investors, so Allstate Investments, Cornell University, a few others, they talked about this dynamic in there. And I thought it was really interesting the way they laid out the choices that LPs have to make when they're deciding whether to re-up with a historical GP fund manager that they've had a long-time relationship with versus trying some of the many, many new emerging fund managers that have kind of come on the scene with, you know, a really great opportunities in the past year or so, and how they make those choices and the impact of those choices on the relationship with the GP for future opportunities to co-invest, et cetera. It's a very interesting blog from the LP perspective. And what the general sentiment was, and this makes sense shifting out of this blog, but then, you know, what we're seeing in the market with conversations with our private equity fund manager clients is that this dynamic has shifted, that there were maybe 4 or 5 years of pretty incredible GP power because it was just a huge, huge, huge hot fundraising climate. And LPs were really, really eager to get in. Funds being raised quickly, maxing out quickly, et cetera. And with the slowdown, there's a noticeable shift in that power dynamic. So it'll be interesting to continue to watch that.
No, and that's fascinating. And it's really up till the last year or so, there was just so much money available, so much money being allocated to private equity. And as pensions and others had famously raised their proportion of capital going to private equity, there'd been so much money flowing to private equity to the GPs. Then as the pensions and other endowments went down in value, that percentage of the total also went down. The percentage stayed the same, but the total dollars, because it's a percentage of the total, went down. So there's less money flowing that way as well in total. And it's fascinating to see this dynamic change and investors being more selective. I remember just the last couple of years, you know, as a investor in funds, but an individual, it was harder to get into some funds than it was to get into Harvard Law School 30 years ago. And all of a sudden, it seems like a lot easier to get into some of these funds than it was. And it's fascinating to watch how that's evolved and changed. Talk about the deal climate, Amber. What are you seeing in the deal climate? Where is the activity and what are you seeing?
Yeah, so what we have felt played out in all of the Q3 reports that have started to come out. Obviously, as you roll out of Q3, first 2 weeks in October, there are several different reports that get published. And what they all are showing is what we have also observed at the firm, which is that there's dramatically more add-on activity than exit activity. So you take the PitchBook data, and I've talked about that before. I'm a big fan of their data just because of the volume of input that they give. And what they showed is that year over year, the deal count is actually higher in 2022, but the deal value is down. And that for their data, 78% of the deals were add-ons versus exits, which is, you know, different and kind of off the balance of exits versus add-ons that we've had over the past couple of years. Some obvious reasons. I mean, it's you can't have a conversation with anyone right now professionally that does not talk about the stock market and the obvious impact on IPO activity, which historically has accounted for a very large portion. I think it's about 1/3 of exit activity. So right there off the bat, that exit activity through an IPO is virtually halted right now. So that's one of many reasons why you see more of this shift towards the add-on acquisition activity.
Certainly, sort of the big exit deals that you're reading about last year or in some of these spaces or just generally have all but softened or slowed. As for big deals, financing is tougher. Equity is a little more selective, though. Equity is very much trying to put money to work, but the debt financing slower. And so also what you've got is sophisticated sellers, holders of assets with private equity funds, don't want to sell into a market that's not a hot market if they could claim it so that they could wait till it gets better again. And so it is fascinating to watch. It really is. The flip side is you do have small businesses, smaller businesses that have margin erosion. The founders have portfolio erosion, and it seems like there's more interest in coming to the table and looking at a deal than there's been in some time.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And so, you know, obviously we're talking in really, really, really broad strokes, but, you know, private equity spans such a colossally different sizes. I mean, even within the middle market, which is where, you know, I normally sit, there we sit in the lower middle market, which is, you know, $500 million away from the upper middle market. So you're right that when you talk about the smaller companies, we're still seeing transactions and exits at those sizes.
If anything, we're almost seeing more interest from entrepreneurs and founders wanting to sell than we've mm-hmm. seen. And that drives some of this because for a very long time, it seemed that buyers couldn't find enough inventory to buy. And now all of a sudden you got lots of founders, entrepreneurs of a certain age range that feel like they better do something while they still have a chance before their businesses erode or before their values erode. And you've got this combination of EBITDA earnings are down a little bit because margins are down in a lot of businesses, plus valuations being down a little bit as interest rates rise, as yields get higher, and so you got this combination that could really drive down pricing and driving some sellers to try and wanting to find that window, that market. But fascinating to watch, really is. It's the first time in a long time, and you and I see this, where we've got people calling saying, I want to sell. I never really wanted to sell, but I sort of do, and how quickly can I get it done? And that's sort of new urgency to some of it that you see every once in a while, but fascinating.
Absolutely.
Amber, I want to thank you, as always, for joining the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. It's always great to visit with you. Just a great perspective and a great practical perspective. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Scott.